Yo, this is None Like Joshua, and you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
It's time, talk time, let's go. Anime, comics, movies, and games, and come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games, and come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games, and come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games, and come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live. Started in the 80s with Matt Cross. Dudes in the hood might have called that soft, but I carried that cross like Jesus did. Fast forward, I teach the kids to learn how to let go, live life, and show love to all things that don't matter. Where y'all from, and luckily there's a show called Talk Time. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Dax kicks the facts on all the geek news, special guests and unbiased reviews. Suburban kids, the hipster street dudes, all can learn something new. Me too. I heard words when no faith is empty. I stayed the course so my haters tempt me. Beep the podcast, that'll make them envy. It ain't too trendy, it's ACMG. Anime, comics, movies, and games, and come on and let's get it. Talk Time. Anime, comics, movies, and games, and come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games, and come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games, and come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. I am your host, Xavier Josiah. Hope everybody's having a great week and a warm weekend because it's snowing here in Philadelphia. I'm not going to say unbeknownst to me because I was aware that it was supposed to snow or I didn't know when. And I heard that there was a winter storm coming in the name of Gia, believe it or not, Winter Storm Gia. Shout out to our Anime Underground host, Gia Sanrio, who, when I found out about this, it was on the Weather Channel, and I looked this up. I got a notification from the Weather Channel, so I clicked on it. You know, it uploaded the app for it. So, on the line, it actually said Winter Storm Gia on there coming, and I'm like, oh, I know she's going to be happy about that. Two, it was below a Samuel Adams Bear ad. Now, why that's funny to me, inside joke, is that Gia and her boyfriend actually goes out at Bear, Bear Gardens every so often. Or places, like, they're really into not just drinking beer, but like the creation of beer, the preservation of beer is like they're really like she is into the chemistry of it all. So, I mean, it's more of a science thing to her than anything. And I thought it was just funny that, I get a Samuel Adams ad next to a headline that says Winter Storm Gia is coming. It was just, that's her entire MO. So, shout out to her. And she will be back soon. We were just talking the other day. And remember, she was on the show. We did a show. And if you guys remember me talking about it, my whole entire drive just wiped out of all my content, like all of my episodes, everything. And luckily, thanks to Lips, partly by Lipson and all by Pac Bean, I was able to get all of them back. So thank goodness, because I wouldn't know how to act if I lost every single interview that I've ever talked to of every, you know, celebrity or and guest that I had on a show. It would just been awful. But I managed to get them all back. But you know, that recent episode that we did, where we caught up with all the anime that we were watching, it never made it. I still had the promo and everything. It never made it. And we got to make up for it. So, with Dragon Ball Super coming out this week, she's going to be coming down within probably a few weeks after that. But we're going to talk about all of that soon. So, definitely Winter Storm Gia is coming. I can really happily say that right now. But I digress. We got some things to talk about in the world of our favorite fandoms, including two reviews, actually. One of which I'm going to talk about in our next segment. And the other one for our talk topic, I just had to, because I was going to make Godzilla the talk topic. But considering I just went to the movies and saw this movie, and I decided to change things up. We don't normally get to talk about movies that are outside of the realm of comic books and such, or anime or whatever. And I'm going to change it up because this movie was a great way to start 2019, and I'll talk about that more. So we're going to talk about The Upside, which was Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston. So if you're looking for a comic book filled episode or something like that, still stick around, because I know you guys watch more than just comic book stuff or anime stuff, or, and this is ACMG, and ACMG is, in fact, the four letters of fandom does stand for anime, comics, movies, and games. And then movie part does not just, you know, section itself out just for particular movies. Any movie that of interest, any movie of quality. And this was worth talking about, so I will definitely talk about it. You got two powerhouse, you know, talents on this movie. And let me tell you, you want to start off 2019, right? We're going to talk about why you should watch The Upside, definitely. So stick around for that and much more. But for now, we're going to find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
And now, it's time to find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
Okay, folks, before we start, I got to give a big shout out and thanks to my man. He goes by the name of SAO DVD. He's an artist. He did a digitally remastered version, like a vector version, it looks like, of Broly from the new Dragon Ball Super Broly movie. And I liked it so much, I wanted to use it in a promo that I'm doing to re-promote the interview I had with Vic Mignogna, because, as you know, the actual show, or I'm sorry, the movie is coming out this Wednesday. So I wanted to remind people to go check it out, and definitely go check it out at Talk Time Live exclusives. Go to talktimelive.com/exclusives. You can check it out there, and go check out SAO DVD on DeviantArt. He does great work, man. And trust me, even if you're doing a digital remaster of anything, that's still, because I've done it myself, and he did a great job on it so much. I was like, yeah, let me go use his, and thank him for the use of that one. So go ahead, out of your way, go to DeviantArt, check him out. He's pretty damn good. He does great work. He loves the passion. And support all the artists out there in DeviantArt. It's a lot of great work out there. But SAO DVD, thank you so much on that new. Now, I definitely want to talk about something that I talked about last week, and that is the Golden Globes. We talked about it last week because Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Black Panther, two really great movies, came out in the start and the end of the year of 2018. Now, as happy as I was, I didn't need a crystal ball to predict the obvious, and I was right on that. You guys can check on the episode last week as I said this. As much as I want Black Panther to win and Into the Spider-Verse to win, if I had to choose, I'm going to think that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is going to win the Golden Globe. And in fact, it did win Golden Globe for Best Animated Movie of the Year. And that was crazy because it just swooped in out of nowhere from all of the categories. And I know, I believe Incredibles 2 was one of them that was nominated. And had this movie had not come out, I really think that movie would have came in. But Sony came in out of nowhere with this movie. And you were kind of wondering, like, how did this thing just came out? It hasn't even come out yet and is already nominated for a Golden Globe. It already got early nods, which means there's a possibility this thing might win. And then when you go see the movie, you understand why. And I've seen Incredibles 2, and I've been waiting over like 13 years for that movie, and it was well worth the wait. But man, did they take this to a whole nother level with this movie. I can't wait till it comes out digitally on, you know, I only buy digital. That's it. You know, I hate all that clutter. So, you know, I knew there's some other features, but just watching the movie is enough for me. Although this one I might break for the Blu-ray. I haven't purchased a Blu-ray in so long, but this was so good. I am so eager to, and I've mentioned this before, I'm so eager to want to see the behind the scenes and what artists that they were inspired by with the character design and such, because I feel like there were so many influences from Marvel artists like Eric Larson and Mark Bagley and Sarah Pacelli and all that, that I just want to know the inside going on with this. This is like rare that I want to know the inside of stuff like this, but it was awesome. Well deserved. There's no debate about it. There's no, absolutely no debate about it. Congratulations. But also, I'm on some rundown, so the other things. And but the unfortunate is that for most people who were wanting Black Panther to win anything, if I'm correct, they didn't get anything. As far as movie of the year or drama motion picture of the year, that went to Bohemian Rhapsody. And you know what? I am not mad at that at all. Due to the fact that I am a huge Queen fan, I say this, I have not seen this movie yet. I feel bad because I heard, and when I saw it and I found out that Remy Malik from or Malik from, I forgot how to pronounce his name, from Mr. Robot is going to be on there, and I saw the pictures of him, like, oh, this dude's going to nail it. I just think he's going to nail it. And I loved his speech when he won the award. His award too, personally. So it was a great thing, but it's not to say it was total loss, because there was a lot of great winners last night. Glenn Close won for actress in a drama motion picture. You knew that was going to happen. Like, Meryl Streep and Glenn Close are the hardest people to beat in any category that they're nominated for. It's like those two are just like there is. It's almost like that. There is none higher type of situation. You know, but also Remy Malek won for actor in drama motion picture. Mahershala Ali won for supporting actor in a motion picture. Congratulations to him. Which, by the way, he was also the Prowler in Into the Spider-Verse too. So, you know, he had a lot to do with that as well. Green Book won for screenplay and motion picture. Regina King won for supporting actress and a motion picture. So, you know, great job on that. She, another one. Who'd have thought that the little girl from 227 would be one of the most powerful actresses in Hollywood? Unbelievable. And you got to remember, too, if you're a fan of the Boondocks, she did both Huey and Riley's voice. That's how freaking good she is. I mean, unbelievable. Christian Bale, Batman 1, he deserved this. I mean, for him to do what he did to become Dick Cheney, unbelievable. And his speech was hilarious. I won't even go there, but if you saw it, go to the Globe Awards, or you could go online to see it. It's hilarious. His speech in reference to Dick Cheney, that Dick Cheney's daughter was not happy with that. Green Book won for musical and comedy motion picture. I mean, so there were some great, you know, winners this night. I mean, I really, there was no real fault for anything that was going on tonight. Carol Burnett, shout out to her. I, you know, not anything related, but I'm a big Carol Burnett fan. That's how old I am. I was a kid and I loved her comedy show. The Carol Burnett Show was one of the best shows, you know, still to this day. If I watch those old episodes, it'll still have you cracking up. It was so funny that even Carol Burnett and all the talent, Tim Conway and all of them, would actually laugh at themselves. They couldn't keep character because they were having so much fun with that. And just well deserved. They made an award dedicated to her. So now there's a Carol Burnett Award, and she was the first recipient of that award. So congratulations. Great night for the actual award ceremonies out there. So I'm just happy Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse got it. So I mean, and the great part about it, most of all, that you take away from this win, as a Marvel fan, as a comic book fan, and for those who ever doubted Miles Morales, there is no denying, absolutely no denying this character right now. This character won a Golden Globe. A movie that starred him won a Golden Globe. So to everybody who didn't consider Miles Morales a legit Spider-Man or whatever, you can't. It's official. Even Peter Parker did not win a Golden Globe Award. It was Miles Morales, along with all the other Spider-Men, of course. But the main story of this movie was dedicated to him. So, who are you to deny? You say what you will, the majority wins. You know, it's just like, which, by the way, I had to, it's funny too, because we did the Best of 2018 awards last week, and there were people who were like complaining about certain winners last week. Also, the same people that was complaining weren't the ones that were voting. And I pointed that out on our ACMG Facebook group. By the way, if you want to be a part of that, go to facebook.com/groups/ACMG1. Join the fun over there. But they were complaining about, like, you know, because people voted Black Panther as the their pick for best movie. And when you're in ACMG, we go our own road. We don't go the road of whoever. We are our own people. So, but people went, and it was a very close vote, of course. But, and there were some other great, absolutely great movies out there. However, that was the pick. That was the pick that they chose. If you wanted something different, you should have voted. Enough said. You know, you gotta put it in. You can't complain about it if you didn't put in. You know, it is what it is. But, Adara, speaking of award ceremonies, we also have now coming up the Crunchyroll Anime Awards, which you can vote right now. You go to Crunchyroll's website and actually vote for any of these categories that they have. But one of them was Best Voice Actor, both Japanese and American. And for the American category, Christopher Sabat actually is in this. No surprise there. I mean, like, he is one of the most prominent voice actors in anime right now, and in particular anime. Troy Baker, overall, I think, is everybody's choice. And Nolan North, of course, is everybody's choice. But Christopher Sabat, in the world of anime, and there's a difference between doing normal animated shows and video games, and then there's anime. In anime, Christopher Sabat, because of not just because of how many voices he does, but the amount of things that he does. He's like director. He's, I guess, casting director or whatever he produces. I mean, he's a lot into the background of Funimation alone. So there is no surprise. And then he's the prominent voice for a lot of, you know, of your favorite anime characters. Vegeta, Piccolo. I believe somebody said Kurobara he's the voice of too. You know, All Might, of course, is the biggest one right now that he's doing. And in fact, he is nominated for that particular role that he's playing as All Might. Funny thing is, he went on Twitter and said that he's very happy about the nomination that he had for the role of All Might. It is the best role of his career. That's kind of really deep for him to say that. And I've watched all of the English dubs so far, and My Hero Academia, and he does a phenomenal job as always. Like, he does a great job on all of his characters that he do. But I know there's a lot of Dragon Ball fans and a ton of Dragon Ball fans out there that love him as Vegeta. And in fact, somebody did a meme a meme out there where they show Vegeta actually crying at the sight of Christopher Sabat saying that. And I'm sure it's a funny. I don't think people are taking it too seriously, but I think there are some people who would like kind of disagree with that in some cases. But still, I mean, Christopher Sabat is a really phenomenal talent, hardworking dude, very hardworking dude. I really would love to have him on the show. I would really love to pick his brain of all the things that he does. He gets out there. Him and Sean Schimmel are like the most popular anime actors out there right now, and it's just they have done a great job. And by the time Dragon Ball hits theaters this Wednesday on the 16th, and it's already elevated those two. I mean, Dragon Ball Fighters has elevated those two. I mean, just so many. The bigger Dragon Ball gets, the bigger these guys are going to get, and the harder it's going to be to get these guys. But I'm not going to give up. So, definitely, you know, shout out to him and congratulations to him on that. But again, you could go onto the Crunchyroll website and vote for a ton of different categories, not just for VA, English and Japanese VA of the year, but there's also other categories. I'll read this off to you. Best Protagonist, which means good guy, if guys don't know who that is. Best Antagonist, which means bad guy or villain, if you will. Best boy character, I guess that it says best boy and best girl, but it's, I guess you mean best male or female character. Best film, best animation, best character design. Now, people often get this confused. Animation and character design are two different things. Because we get into this conversation a lot when it comes to, like, especially when it comes to American animation, you know, or character design animation in America. They get the animation part. Now, we don't have as good character design as they do in, say, in Japan. But the animation quality is really, really good Like, if you watch Black Panther's Quest or you watch, you know, the Avengers, the other Avengers cartoons or anything that's done in America, the animation quality is great, but the character design is what I believe people sometimes complain about because it's a little bit simplistic and people want a little bit more detail. But in America, we have a, from what I understand, there's a major budget that goes along the more detail you add on to this. So they tend to, you know, kind of find a more simplistic type of way of doing animation, which kind of pissed some people off who love watching animated shows. And I kind of understand, I honestly understand the frustration of that because there are times where we want to see some really good stuff like Avatar or Legend of Korra, you know, in that retrospect, or even, you know, the Boondocks to some extent, Black Dynamite, which, you know, they went the kind of the anime style route in some cases, or pay homage to that respect, you know, so you get to see stuff like that in there. So, but I understand, but you got to understand the animation quality in America is still really good. I mean, if you separate the two together, you understand what the two is down there. So they do have best animation categories on there, and they have best character design. You have to make sure you get those two. And I'm glad that they now have categories separating two so people can understand that there is a contrast between the two. So I just, you know, when you talk about this, you got to understand the difference of them. So there's that. And then also they have best opening sequence category and best ending sequence category. I know for a fact, I got to look at that, because if JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is not in that category for best ending sequence, I'm going to be pissed. And I do believe JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is in a category, but I don't know if it's for best ending sequence, because JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the ending sequence is one of the greatest of all time, in my opinion, and a lot of people, because one, they have this huge motion collage of different artistic, you know, things going around, plus the characters are in there, and then also it tops it with them using classic old school American rock songs or pop songs or even R&B songs. There's one that's coming up soon that I believe is being used by Jodeci. And from what I understand, it's legit. They're actually using Jodeci. If you're from the 90s and you remember and you listen to R&B like that, you know Jodeci was like one of the hottest R&B groups out there. Before it was called boy bands. Now it's called boy bands. Back when it's R&B, it's R&B groups. We don't need to hit that boy band crap, because none of them guys wanted to be considered boys. They always wanted to be considered men, even Boys to Men. So, you know, with them playing Jodeci's, like, third songs from Jodeci's third album, yo, and Freaking You was one of them. I was like, I love this anime so much now. They always been known to be eccentric and like, couture-like. So doing stuff like that, it's just going out of the box, really going out of the box. I also love when he did Walk Like an Egyptian at the end of the Egypt season with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and that one with Dio and everything. So I really hope that they get this nod, because there's no way that JoJo's Bizarre Adventure shouldn't get that nod. I got to look back at that. So they got best fight scenes as well. And big, no surprise to anybody, Goku and Jiren is in that category. I'm going to put my prediction right now that if that does not get the award for best fight scene, something wrong with people, because that was the biggest hyped episode in series. I mean, there's no way in hell. There's no way in hell that that's not winning. I forgot the other fight scenes that were on there. I think Devil May Cry Baby was in there too, which was really interesting too. But that fight scene with Jiren versus Goku, when you think best fight scenes of 2018, there's no doubt. Everybody's going to think Goku versus Jiren. In freaking sane. So that's Alpha category. Actually, damn sure right. I voted for that, by the way. And best continuing series, which also Dragon Ball Super is in there. Now, there has been talks about that the season will come back. So the fact that it's on there tells me that there is going to be another season that's ongoing. Baruto, I believe, is on there too. Shout out to Amanda Celine Miller. out there at Molly Flanagan. By the way, they just saw the recent episode yesterday. I haven't watched any of the Japanese. I watched a few of the Japanese subs. So I'm new to everything that I'm seeing right now. So I know there's other people who have already seen these episodes, but the episode that they showed on Toonami yesterday was really well done, and one of the best I've seen so far. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on, because they kind of threw me in the loop as to who was the person responsible for the shadows that are coming at people throughout the weeks up till now. So great job on the performances on that one as well. And the last one is, of course, Anime of the Year. So, you know, you got all those categories to check out there, and it's your choice. You go in there, you check it out, and good luck to your picks in there. So we'll see who wins after that. So let's move on to something very interesting that happened this week that was reported. And if anybody, you know, mostly I'm assuming my listeners are adults, you know, within the 18 to 45 demographic, I'm assuming. So I know for a fact that my ACMG Facebook group, the members on there are like adults, you know, parents and such like that, who are fans of all this too. So I'm sure they know the name of Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman, if you will, Ocasio-Cortez. She's been in the news a lot lately, mostly because the controversy that some people in the Republican Party were actually, you know, getting on her about a video of her dancing. And it was really weird. It was really stupid and weird for that matter. I'm like, she's just dancing. Like, the thing that I hate about politics and these government positions and everything is that it's like, why once you become a member of office that you have to be the most conservative person ever? You can't, like, it's like Footloose rules. So you can't dance, you can't have a good time, you can't be human, you can't be a normal person and still have the responsibility to hold office. I think that's just ridiculous. It is, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. I was always a fan of people who let it loose and just be real with themselves. President Obama was one of them. Bill Clinton was another one. It's always the liberals, for the most part. I've not yet seen, I don't remember, recall a Republican in office. And I'm not saying that there's not any out there. And I'm friends with people who are Republican too, by the way. But I haven't seen one that was out there that has actually been laid back and put themselves on the forefront and saying like, hey, screw. All right, Governor Christie, to some extent, in New Jersey, to some extent, I give him some credit for just like saying what's on his mind and being real about it. But he's done some stupid stuff too. But that said, we're not talking about the stupid things that he's done. We're talking about his personality. And his personality is a little off base. I was almost a fan of him up until the whole thing of him trying to go some different directions I didn't like. Some, you know, some gate directions and all that stuff. But that's here nor there. I digress. Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, she's really awesome. Not just because of that, but because of what she said on Twitter. If you're a comic book fan, you will enjoy this. If you're a movie fan, you'll enjoy this too, because you've heard this line before. But she got into a discussion with somebody on Twitter, and she responded quoting Alan Moore's Watchmen's famous line that Rorschach used when he was in jail. And a lot of people, I think she won a lot more praise from a demographic that she, I don't know if she was aiming for or not, but when you go so hardcore as to quote the legendary line of, none of you understand, I'm not locked in here with you, you're locked in here with me. Which is the famous line that you heard from the movie that's played by Rorschach. That Rorschach said, and in the book, in the actual graphic novel, but for her to actually quote that, and you gotta, and not only that, on the actual tweet, she said, and to quote Alan Moore, not Rorschach, that's a deep amount of respect giving to that, to the author of that book, and to the writer of that book, and just the fact that her comic book knowledge. So for her to just quickly just come out with that, awesome. Absolutely, absolutely 100% awesome. I don't know. I'm going to believe that she came up with that And I got to look at the tweet again to see the actual timestamp to see how she set that up. If she did it in a moment's notice, praise to her. Because that was absolutely unbelievably a great way to come back at somebody. And that was her saying, you know, she's not, you know, that was her, you know, target to the Republican Party. You know, I absolutely loved it because she's in an uphill battle right now and they're looking to make real change. And for her to come out with that and saying that, that's saying a lot, that she is not backing down and she is not afraid, that she is all power. More power to her on that one. I really enjoyed that. And I officially followed her at that point. And I'm looking forward to seeing what change they are looking to do in 2019. And hopefully we can. We got a lot going on with, you know, the government being shut down. And we're seeing a lot of what's going on here. We got some real legit supervillains in this world right now. We're discovering. And we need some real heroes. We need some real superheroes out here. And I hope we do. I hope 2019 is just only January. I hope by the end of 2019, we absolutely see change. I guarantee you, 2020, this is just the prelude. This is the prelude year to see what's going to happen in 2020. Guarantee that. So we will see. But all right, so let's get to my review of Godzilla the Planet Eater. And this may be a total contrast to what many other reviews that have given it, which is a lot of praise in my case. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to say that it's a bad movie. I'm not going to say that because you know what? It's one of those movies where you have to be a fan of this to really enjoy it. And I think this is a movie not for everybody. And it wasn't a movie for me. And I'm just thinking at this point, because I've tried to go through not only just this Godzilla series, but a horde of Godzilla series. And it just comes down to it. You have to be a absolute total fan for Godzilla. In this case, you know, I tried so many times. I even went to the movies to go see the Godzilla movie that had Bryan Cranston on it. And thinking like, okay, Bryan Cranston's in the movie. Bryan Cranston can make anything really good in a movie. And then they killed him off early. And from that point on, that movie just dragged. And by the time they got to any form of action and when Godzilla came, it was at the very end. And it was like only a few minutes of action and air and suspense. And the rest of it was just character driven based on the human aspect. And the humans weren't nearly as, you know, good or charismatic or appealing in the movie. And it's crazy because of the people that were in the movie where it was like you had Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch from Avengers, you know, from the Avengers series on Marvel Studios, who are way more charismatic and appealing as characters than they were in that movie. And I just realized it's like Godzilla is a movie not about Godzilla. It's a character-driven movie. And that's fine because that's not the first franchise that has ever done that where something was not totally based on what you think. Give an example. Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is not about the walkers or the zombies or whatever. It's about the people in there. But the characters in The Walking Dead are phenomenal. You know these people. It's so character-driven, but also appealing, and it focuses on the sociological aspect of it, you know, and how people live together throughout these situations. Godzilla kind of goes that same realm, but doesn't do it as successful as they do it on the likes of what, you know, Robert Kirkman has done it in the Walking Dead series, rather the comic book or the actual show. And I always feel like they fail to do that. And I think Godzilla the Planet Eater for me did the exact same thing that all the Godzilla movies I've ever watched, even the first anime. I was given the first one a chance, and I literally was so bored out of my mind because the characters are, I don't know what it is about it. It's just like everybody's so drab and just there's no upbeat to it. I granted it is in a somewhat post-apocalyptic situation or in another planet or whatever or like that, or you know, whatnot. But there is just everything's just so serious driven, or you know, not that The Walking Dead or anything like that is not, you know, driven like that, but I just feel like everything's just on a certain level, and it doesn't go up, it doesn't go down. There's barely any action going on, at least with The Walking Dead. And I think that was the one thing. There was no action at all through this. It was just dialogue, dialogue, dialogue. And, you know, there was a biblical type of thing too. Now, I'm not opposed to anything biblical because, again, you want to talk about character-driven things. I'll give you another example. Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's not about the mechs. It's about the kids. It's about the situation that goes on with it. If you compare the two, man, Neon Genesis Evangelion is ridiculous. They finally get to the mech part, but and that's action-packed too, but the character-driven situations that they do on Evangelion is way more appealing. They have some moments when they laugh. They have some moments when they smile, when they joke around, but there were some really serious, emotionally-driven moments in there, just like it is in The Walking Dead. Here, I just could not, and I knew the premise of what was going on, and it's, you know, they're having a somewhat of a religious, you know, favor or fever going, you know, that's rising within, you know, the ranks, and somewhat of a cult is building, and this cult that is being built, from what I understood, it's just, you know, this guy was sacrificing a whole bunch of people to, you know, raise the new monster that's coming out. And you know, I get all that. I got all that. And it just takes place after the events of Mechagodzilla City. And I get all that. But it just wasn't appealing to me. It just, I couldn't get into it. And this was like an hour and a half, like about 90 minutes of this. And by the time Godzilla finally woke up and was about to fight the main monster, he barely did anything. He barely did anything. And I may not be seeing something that other people are seeing, or people are a little bit more patient with me on this. But when they finally get to the point of that happening, it was just like he just stood there because the monster was, you know, keep holding him. He was holding him through the whole entire thing. Like if you see the actual poster for the actual movie, you're not missing anything. That's pretty much the aspect of the movie, except they are like a bunch of different dragons. I forgot what the, and again, I'm not a big Godzilla fan, but like if you're trying to convince me to be a Godzilla fan and I need so much a description of what's going on based on what to see, it's to me, that's not appealing. Like, I'm not saying things need to be simplistic in a sense, but they need a certain balance of personality, action, and whatnot. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say it came off pretentious or whatever like that, but I just felt like this style of storytelling was done better in other formats, in other stories, in other animes or, you know, genres. This, to me, just wasn't doing it for me, and there's an absolute audience for this. I just wasn't that audience for it. I came out watching this and was just, I struggled through watching this whole thing. And I'm not going to say this is a bad movie at all. I'm not going to say this is a bad movie. I'm going to say that I am not a Godzilla fan. I can say the one thing that I absolutely enjoyed about it was that it was beautiful to look at. They are doing the 3D. They're using kind of like, you know, 3D, you know, and hand draw, and I guess cell drawing, you know, in case that's what it looks like from my point of view, which it's okay. It's a lot better than it ever was in years. I'm still not a fan of it. I'm still a fan of the hand-drawn style, you know, animation or at frame rate, not being, you know, using totally like CG rendering or whatever. But I can't get down with it. I'm not a Godzilla fan at all. It's just, I just felt like if you're going to do a Godzilla film, you got to mix the two together. You got to blend them together. I would say for me to be a Godzilla fan, the characters need to be a little bit more riveting, a little bit more exciting, charismatic, if you will, and still have their little and still have dramatic moments, but also have some action with in those scenes. You know, it can't be just them having dialogue throughout the whole entire thing. It's not like watching a Kevin Smith movie or whatever like that, which Kevin Smith movies are way more appealing than what I watched here. The dialogue, it was just so much dialogue, and it's them just talking about, you know, this new deity or whatever it is that's coming, and people believing in this deity. You know, I just really couldn't. It was hard to follow. It was hard to watch. If you've never been a Godzilla fan before, this is one of those cases where I leave it to you. I wouldn't say go off on what I'm saying. I'm just saying from what I watched, it was a beautifully drawn. The character design was great. I wasn't too much a fan of the animation part of it. But, you know, it's not my cup of tea. It just really wasn't my cup of tea from considering what I see on anime in this case. I mean, it just wasn't. But if you're a Godzilla fan, I think you will like it. I know there's some people out there, and I know there's reviews out there that did give it praise. It's a mix. It's actually mixed from what I understand. There's some people who are actually, you know, praising it. There's some people who are not digging it as much. You know, I mean, it was what it was in there. I think IGN has given it an 8, where Dina Geeks has given it like a 3 out of 5. You know, saying they, I agree with them on some cases. The animation was lackluster. Was it nearly as good? The CG effects was but the character design was beautiful. All right, that's the best thing I can say about that movie, was the character design was beautiful. But I think they need to balance. I think this is the last one, unfortunately. If they do this ever again, or they do something like this again, they need to have mixed drama with action really well throughout the series. It's just, I've seen better stories done in this fashion. And I've made those examples right there. This is just one of them. So, go at it out however you think, but I know there are better anime on Netflix that I watched, like Devilman Crybaby. If you compare the two together, Devilman Crybaby kills this, absolutely kills this movie. Just go about it your way. But if you're a Godzilla fan, you're gonna like it for just being a Godzilla fan. If you're not a fan of Godzilla but you like anime, I would really, depends on the style of the genre of anime you're into. I don't know. You may be a fan of this or not, but this wasn't for me personally. So if I had to give it, for me personally, an actual review of it, I'm absolutely going to give this, unfortunately, a C minus. That's just, this is just a lie. I mean, when I'm watching anime, I'm usually mesmerized by the look of it, which if you just based on the actual character design itself, it looks stunning. So that the character design itself gets A minus at best. But if you look at the animation part, if you look at the story element and just the dialogue and the characters, no character stood out to me in this movie. No character stood out to me in this movie at all. Just from a character design point, it was beautiful, but everybody was a blend. It was bland at best. Everybody just blended in together. There was nothing, not even the main character stood out at all. None of it. It was just, I've seen fan animated shorts that were better and more appealing and exciting than what I saw in this one. It just wasn't my deal. It wasn't my anime deal. So it is what it is with that. But I'll just stop it at that. Go, if you're a Godzilla fan, God bless you. I would love to hear somebody who's a Godzilla fan who digs it. Just wasn't my cup of tea. But check it out on your own. Give your own opinion on it. Whatnot. I'm giving it a C minus for me. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of What's New in the World of ACMG. We're going to take a break. Come back and talk about a movie that I absolutely highly recommend talking about, and I'll tell you why right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, the voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Hebert, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on TalkTimeLive.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon, and in the name of the moon, you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
Do it.
And now it's time for our top topic of the week. Ready? Wait!
All right, folks, we are back with our talk topic of the week, and it is my review of The Upside, starring Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston, and Nicole Kidman. A movie that I never really thought I would actually do a review on, but considering, one, there's not that many much news going on in this world and not really a topic to really talk about, but this is movie-related, like I said. But, you know, this show is normally targeted for anime and comic book-related stuff. Now, the M for ACMG also means movie, so if there's a particular movie that is worth talking about, I'm going to bring it up, and this was that movie. I knew when I went to the movies to go see Avengers or Spider-Man or whatever like that, this trailer came up, and I saw these two, and I'm a huge fan of Bryan Cranston. Ever since I was a fan of him in Malcolm in the Middle. I was a fan of him from what he did in Seinfeld and King of Queens and all this stuff. That was fine. But it was really when he did Walter White on Breaking Bad, when everybody's always like, this dude is no joke. He is so diverse. He is phenomenal. I relate to him, and I'm about to use a pro wrestling comparison here. For those who are really wrestling fans, you know this. Kazushi Okada. If you relate him to Okada in New Japan Pro Wrestling, who is like one of the most phenomenal wrestlers of this generation, who can get in the ring with virtually anybody and have a phenomenal match, or Kota Ibushi. Kota Ibushi has had a wrestling match with a broomstick, I believe, and made it the best thing ever. Bryan Cranston is there. If you put him in with anything, he makes everything better. So I knew he was going to be good, but mixing him with Kevin Hart, and as good as Kevin Hart is as a comedian, this was a new change. This was a step up for this brother. So, and I'm not being biased from a Philadelphia standpoint. Shout out to him on that. But this was a major step up for him, and I think he wanted to evolve his level of acting, which he, I believe, mission accomplished. Because his role in this movie reminded me of when Robin Williams stepped up his game and act, you know, from being a comedic actor to an actual, like, dramatic actor and started going in thrillers and drama. This is, like, Kevin's next step up to that type of situation. It really felt like that watching his movie and seeing how he did when he was playing the role of Del Scott here. And it was just, these two, you would never could think of bringing these two together. So shout out to the person, to the casting director of this. Did a phenomenal job. This was awesome. These two are a mix match made in heaven, in my opinion. And then you add Nicole Kidman, who I felt like she has never been more charming to me than in this movie. And it was amazing. It was really amazing. I almost didn't recognize her because she had a kind of covered her forehead, so like that's the only way I can really recognize her sometime. I did like her in Aquaman. She was a badass. I said she was a badass in Aquaman, but this particular movie, she did a really good job. And again, you know, Kevin was kind of the man out in this one, because he stepped up his level working with such premier actors and actresses in this one. He had to step up his game, and I think he did a great job stepping up his game here and being able to, you know, it really brings his depth and character up a lot more, being able to be in a film with these two. So I absolutely, man, he stepped up his game so much here. But nonetheless, I will give you a reason why to watch this. And I think that anybody, and everything that we went through in 2018, this is a great way to start the year watching this movie, because this is a dramedy, pretty much. This is a dramedy directed by Neil Berger and written by John Hartmere. So this is not an original movie, first of all. This movie is actually a remake of the 2011 French film, The Untouchables. And I didn't see that movie. I saw the actual posters for that movie. I don't know why I saw the posters for that movie back in the day, but it is also based on the actual life of Felipe Pose de Borgo, who was, he's still alive. He's 67 years old, to be exact. He's a French businessman who was the director of Pommery, I believe it's called, and was the owner of the Inherited Historical Hotel, I can't pronounce his name, Particular. Don't get me to quote and forgive me if I butcher it, but this is based on the real life of that gentleman, and they somehow made a story out of it. And, you know, The Untouchables was the first to do it, and now they're remaking it. There were some really cool things. I really want to see the original, The Untouchables movie, because I want to see how they filmed it in accordance to how Neil Berger filmed it. Because the cool thing that started with this movie is that it started off 6 months after everything that is going on. So I love the way they did this, and I got a feeling that we're going to see other films that do this too. I mean, it's not like an original thing, but when somebody does it right, other people tend to do it. It's kind of like when you watch Civil War and they do the transitional scenes where you see the big font on that says a different state or a different country that they're in right now. And then all of a sudden you saw other people doing the same thing in other films, which was kind of lame in a sense. But I got a feeling they're going to do this too. But it started in a situation where Kevin Hart's character, Dale Scott, by the way, is, you know, in this movie, he's a character that is out of prison. He has a criminal record. He's trying to find work, and he apparently is not, he's pretty much lost all hope in society giving, you know, him a chance, and a chance to, you know, prove himself. He's just all out of it. You know, he's living in the same type of way that his father lived. And, you know, it just seems like it's almost about to repeat itself. But he winds up getting into a job position with Bryan Cranston's character, who is Philip Lacasse, I believe. And he winds up, like Philip in this case, he is just out of it. Not only is he a quadriplegic in this, but he's also, he's in a depressive state. His wife died of cancer, pretty much. And, you know, it just took everything out of him. It's not even the fact that he's quadriplegic. He doesn't have his wife with him. He thinks there's no hope because he has nothing to live for. So he pretty much hires Dale, because Dale may be the opposite of what he needs. And he doesn't want anybody that he cares about, pretty much. So he thinks Dale Scott is going to be the guy that made him be the means to his end. And it just goes on from there. But it starts off with them just speeding in one of his cars, one of his mini cars, by the way. This guy is loaded. Absolutely loaded. So it has him in there, and they're going through the situation. You know, Bryan Cranston or Philip has a like really big beard at the time. And, you know, they're just speeding it from the cops and everything, and they're doing their thing. Now, the cool part about the scene is that I truly believe this, and it has been said that they filmed this in Philadelphia. I automatically recognize that, and I could be wrong, but that looked an awful lot like JFK Boulevard in downtown in our Philadelphia area. They also had another scene in the movie where I recognized it was filmed in Philly as well. But I love that. I absolutely love it. I'm like, no, I've worked in that area way too much not to know where the hell that is. That's JFK Boulevard. So, I mean, that was a cool thing, a little hump nod to Philly right there. And because it was based in New York. It was supposed to be there in New York, so they did film some parts of it that was in Philly in there, too. So they kind of mixed the two together. Same way that they did in Transformers 2, unfortunately, The Revenge of the Fallen, where they filmed up here right, like, blocks away from my neighborhood. And it was supposed to be Princeton, New Jersey, but in fact, it was University of Penn. So, I mean, they do that often. They do that a lot often, so I wasn't surprised here. But no, the case may be is that, you know, that was 6 months later, but then they went back 6 months behind, and that's where the story begins. And it shows Kevin Hart's trying to, you know, like I said, trying to find a job. You know, he finds Bryan Cranston. And throughout the entire movie, these two are kind of learning about each other. And Philip is actually starting to like him because he's not your normal guy. Every applicant that came by was like some type of Harvard graduate or whatnot. And it was really, really kind of boring, or like yes men or yes women or something like that. And you can see the selections. And this guy was just like, I am not going to take crap from you. And Philip was all about that. Cole Kidman's character, who plays Yvonne Pendleton, who is supposed to be her business manager of his estate and everything, or just his business, was really good in here too, because she was also overseeing him because he couldn't find an actual person. And it was one little stipulation that he wanted to make sure that she did, that she wound up kind of, you know, becoming insubordinate with. And that was one of the things that was a big no-no for her. But you'll find out when you watch the movie. No, listen, I won't spoil everything for you on that. But lo and behold, she is very invested in Philip in this, in so many other ways. But Kevin adding Kevin's character to the part really is breaking everybody's tension and actually making people open up more to things. And it was really great. It was really great. But Kevin also has a situation where he's trying to make things right with his son and his wife. His son, by the way, is by the name of Anthony in the movie, played by, I believe his name is Jahi Dialo Winston. If anybody recognized that character and watched the BET movie, New Edition, he played young Ralph Tresvant in that movie. I was dying to try to figure out where I've seen him from. Like, I've seen this kid before. I don't know if it's Black Dynamite or not, but he would have been older by now at this point. But he's in there too. And his mom, were trying to get out of this really, really bad situation that in this apartment. They lived in like the projects pretty much. And it was just bad. Dell just really felt bad about being in that situation. It's a really emotionally empathetic type of movie. If you have any type of heart, you will and have lived through certain. For some, there's a lot of people who will empathize with this, and for others, you have to have some type of sympathy. Even if you haven't gone through what, you know, the Dell Scott character has gone through, or anybody in that way, but. It was really touching to see those moments in there. And then from that point, you know, it just got so much better. He started getting to know each other and he had to learn a few things. There was a lot of funny moments in this movie. And this is where Kevin Hart got to shine, because while there were comedy moments, and Bryan Cranston is also great with comedy as well. And that's what made this combination so great, because he can adjust and assimilate to anybody's, you know, style. And it was great for him to be able to adjust with Kevin. And Kevin was able to elevate himself at this point as well. So, I mean, that was absolutely fantastic to see that. So with this version of Kevin Hart, you got to see the same Kevin Hart, to be honest, but a more subtle version of him. It was his comedy, but it was just toned down just right. It wasn't overdone. It wasn't oversaturated with him being, you know, the Real Husbands of Hollywood Kevin, or, you know, any of the Kevins that you've seen or any of the movies that he's done. It was taken to a more dramatic tone, but you still got your moments in And they just managed to mix that in just really right. I mean, there were some, like I said, very much memorable moments. One in particular with Bryan Cranston and one of his neighbors that is one of the, it was one of the best scenes in there. And then the other one is like times when those two are together and, you know, Dale is trying to actually, you know, he, Philip needs help in certain things and Kevin is still trying to, you know, adjust to the fact that he needs his full attention on everything. And there's some funny moments where those two get together and Kevin trying to adjust. And at this point, with him being his assistant and trying to help him with everything, they eventually would have to bond majorly. And, you know, it just was kind of like this, in some cases, felt like a modern day Trading Places. Because at some point, you have Philip assimilating into the world that Dale is going to, and some Dale is assimilating to some of the finer things that, you know, Philip is doing, has been living in. So, I mean, he's getting into more elaborate things. He's broadening his mind and his ideology, if you will, of things. And Dale, in some cases, I can relate to Dale's character in a sense that you don't understand the other lifestyles. And if you don't get a chance to get out there, and I remember hearing Kevin Hart say this on an NPR interview, that if you don't get a chance to travel and meet other people and you lack the ability and opportunity to be more cultured. And we don't say that often. There's people on the internet who like to believe that they are smarter than they pretentiously try to make themselves seem smarter than they are, but have no real merit and experience about it. Not until you put yourself out there to allow yourself to learn about other people, other worlds, other countries, other things. I think we do, in a sense, need to educate ourselves a little bit more to other people to understand it, because otherwise we're sitting behind a desk on a couch in front of a keyboard, assuming what we know based on what we see. And I said this recently on my Facebook page that I hope in 2019 that we become a society that doesn't focus on headlines and actually does the research and knowledge needed. And that means sometimes meeting new people, traveling, you know, getting to know other people in other worlds, other ideologies and stuff like that. And that's what happened here. And if you do that, you then, by doing that, we become one. By listening to our stories, by learning about each other's lives, by accepting, by embracing, you know. So, you know, some mistakes can be corrected in the world. And this is what happened with Dale. He was a convicted, you know, criminal. He got it. He was given a chance, you know, based on, you know, the inference that Philip drew upon him. Of course, Philip also had his early intentions as well, which wasn't really good as to why he hired him. But it turned out really well, and they got to learn about each other now, you know, and they've become some really good friends. And you get to see all of that from the fourth wall here in such a great way. And all through the movie, myself and my wife were just smiling. People in the theater were just smiling, and it was such a warm-hearted, lighthearted comedy and warm-hearted, you know, tale, beautifully character-driven. I mean, everybody who played in this movie was really well. And I really hope that I want so many people to see this movie. Not only this movie, but hopefully we'll get to see more movies like this. And not only that, that we get people to have that understanding. It's a really good movie, I think. I say this wholeheartedly because I have a friend on Facebook who tends to be very jaded about the way his outlook in life, thinking that he can't make it because of his past and, you know, how he was bullied as a kid. But he's like way older now and he's still reflecting and dwelling on that past. And by now, this part of his life, those bullies are no longer around. They're no longer bullying him. At this point, he is his own bully because he's not allowed himself to branch out, to look out, to meet other people, to see what's really going on in the world. Instead, he's sitting in his own area, his little bubble, assuming and wondering and thinking of what how dark the world is, and it's not good. It's not healthy at all. No matter what you tell him, you know, he's only going to listen. He's not going to listen. It's like, at this point, you're your own bully, so you're going to be your own, you know, killer as well, in a sense. And I didn't want to be sound like that, but when you are you just looking for attention, or are you just trying to, you know, are you really just not wanting to, you know, make a move? And he admitted himself that he was, part of it was him being lazy. So, yeah, I mean, if people want to live that way, they do, but don't make a complaint saying that you know, there's no opportunity to reach out and to learn and to, you know, embrace and meet other people. There absolutely is. I've met a ton of different people throughout the last decade of my life and learned a hell of a lot about different industries, genres, worlds, peoples, cultures, whatnot, you know, just from ACMG alone. And I mean, this movie just proved a lot of what I've always known and said in this case, but I highly recommend everybody. I mean, no matter what race, creed, color, whatever, everybody go see this movie, because there is a lesson to be told. There is a feeling to be had, and it's a good one. It's a really, really good one. Find it funny, Rotten Tomatoes, the critics give it a 57%. The audience and critics give it an 89%. This is one of those cases where it's like the audience wins. I don't know what the critics are looking for in this case, but, you know, the audience speaks for itself. 89%, that's saying a lot. It was just, it's absolutely, I thought it was a great film. I give this an A. I was smiling from start to finish. I wasn't looking for anything in detail. I don't know what the critics were looking for, but I absolutely enjoyed it, and I hope that everybody checks it out too. Like I said, I hope that we all have that same feeling that I had going into this film that we feel in 2019, because we desperately need it. So go out of your way to check out The Upside with Bryan Cranston, Kevin Hart, and Nicole Kidman. All did phenomenal in their roles, and let's all do it, man. Let's keep it going and keep it growing in this case. And ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and tomorrow's my birthday. I don't know what the hell is gonna happen. I don't know what the hell I'm gonna do. I know there's gonna be a lot of things coming out this week that's gonna be crazy. I'll be doing two game reviews this week. Actually, three, because there's a fighting game that came out last week from the ACEA Neo Geo collection that came out that I want to talk about, as well as Unimusha returns on the 15th of this week. So I'm so looking forward to playing that game. I haven't played my Nintendo Switch in a minute. Gave it a break. I'm on my PS4 right now. So we got that coming out. And maybe possibly another game. I'm not going to say which one or whatever, because I still haven't decided. But there are some releases. There are major releases coming out this week. There's some other things. Reign of Superman is coming out. Dragon Ball Super Broly is coming out. I'm going to see that. Glass is coming out. And on top of that, I should have Matt Papa on this week from NT Creates to talk about Dragon Mark for Death. That's coming out on the 31st, as well as possibly, I'm going to check, reach out to Daisy Lightfoot, see when she's going to be on. It could be this week, could be down the line. We'll find out for sure, to talk about Avengers Black Panther's Quest and her role as Suri on air. So we got all that on air. It's just a lot. You do be prepared for multiple podcasts, because there's no way I can fit all this in one whole podcast. This is ridiculous. No way. So get ready, and this ought to be good. This is going to be a great week. I haven't seen a January this stuffed full of fandom in almost, if not ever. So we will see, but there will be plenty of Talk Time Live for you to listen to on your work week. So on behalf of myself, ladies and gentlemen, all I got to say is learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I am out of here. Take care and have a great week. ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you in part by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for web design, graphic design, and all multimedia development needs. Visit VFISAD.com and let us bring your vision to reality.